It's a great privilege to have Pastor Dave and Lil Hooper with us today. And they're visiting Lil's parents, and kind of like I sort of half-heartedly said, would you like to come? And Dave goes, it'll be an honour and a privilege. And Dave and Lil and Andrew and I go back many, many years, decades, and been to Port Hedland numerous times. I can't remember exactly. We're trying to work it out the other day. But, you know, I love Dave's heart to be able to serve the kingdom of God. And to be able to serve in Port Hedland for how many years has it been? Remind me. 26 years in Port Hedland. 13 pastoring. Let's give him a hand for that. And the most lively and only church to go to if you're ever in Port Hedland. So just keep that in mind. And they've all their kids are in Sydney, and Lil's looking forward to, well, yeah, we won't go there. Yeah. One of them's going to get married soon. And, you know, I'd just like us to stand for a moment, all of us. And, you know, Dave, you're a... there's a real unique anointing on your life. And you have something that I think God's going to give you a bigger dream. And I know you've been talking to me and we went out the other night, but I'm just convinced that God wants to just... some of those ideas are going to really stick. And you and Lil are going to know without a shadow of doubt. I've been talking last week about the substance inside of you. And I'm just convinced that it's going to... that picture... or whatever pictures you get, probably more than one knowing you, but it's just going to expand. And you're going to know for sure when the right time is and that it's going to be okay and it's going to work out. So can we just... Dave, come. Please come. And let's honour Dave this morning. Come on, let's give him a real big hand. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And I've asked... thanks, Jace, yeah. Bring the pulpit up, that'd be fantastic. Dave, thank you.
Thanks, Nige.
Have a great morning.
I will. I hope you do.
I will.
Good. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Hey, oh, just so good to be here. And look at how many are here. If this is holiday time, then that's fantastic. And the music team, if that's your stripped down team, man, I'd love to see the full team. Golly. That was pretty... you know, I was standing here, I was looking along the... you know, 13 years ago, John Finkeldy, who I was doing an internship with up there in North City, Hepburn Heights, said, listen, you know, you've got 6 months left here. I'm going to put you under Nige to do an intern, 6 months intern with Nige. And hey, you did, you? Oh, Dom didn't. Because Dom was just moving from, where's Dom? Over there, he was just moving from CDs into musicians and actual real live musicians, and I got to play guitar, so it was really cool. And Dom was the worship leader. And Dom, I have to say, I really love the lineup here this morning. I have a my second preacher. His name's Stephen Magwenzi, and he and his wife Unami, he's from Zimbabwe and she's from Botswana, and he's my main guy. Preacher guy for the, you know, he's the service leader, and so we sit down each week and we have little catch ups, and we talk about the service and how we put it together and all that sort of thing. Much like, was it Caroline you were doing this morning? That was awesome. And so I said to him, listen, when you go to put together people on stage, I looked at this line up here. I said, I want old, young, male, female, black, white, every week. And he goes, okay. And so I looked up, I thought, black, white, male, female, young. I'm afraid, Dom, you have to take a hit for the team here. Because we're still here, still going, same age. Yeah. And look, you know, this is the thing that I hoped I tried to get across to the kids, and that's that God does this creative work. He does an amazing creative work, and he set it all up for us. And then what we move through is just this. This is in the way. Is this just transference? Is this the stuff comes from God, and then we just take it and we do stuff with it, and it's not defined by sex, male, female. It's not defined by age. It's not defined by skin color. It's not defined by anything. It's just the only thing it's defined by is Jesus. And for those three that put their hand up this morning and said, you know, hey, I'm going to hand my life into Jesus' hand, best decision of your life, stick with it. You have just inherited a crazy bunch of people and they're going to be okay. And I just say that because I've been in church a long time and I know. So thanks for having me here, and let's just pray. And Lord God, we just come before you this morning. We just thank you for your word. And thank you that we have everything that you've given us. We have everything we need to go ahead and make a fresh life, Lord. As we start this year afresh, we just ask for your freshness. That your freshness would permeate our very beings, that everything we put our hands to will prosper, that we'll bring a freshness to everything we touch, a fresh smile to every relationship, every face we see. Lord, just as your face smiles upon us, as we're told in Numbers, Lord, you smile on us, and we can smile on each other. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Amen. All right, so I've got a few things that I want to run by you today. I'm going to run out about 8 points, but which is kind of breaking my rule. So out of those 8, I just want you to listen to the last one, okay? I'll just give you the 8 so you sort of get a bit of an idea, kind of like those 8 slices of pizza there. You know, you need to see that the whole lot's there, but it's just one point that I want to bring to you. But as we come into the beginning of a year, and the preacher or the pastor stands up, or you're listening to the great preaching that you can get at podcasts, or you're doing your YouVersion Bible app thing in the morning. Whenever we are discovering what God is doing in the lives of other people, there's a tendency for us to go, yeah, that's them. That's what they can do. They're vision gurus. You know, I'd love to stand up here. I'd love to see the sort of thing that preacher sees. I'd love to see those visions of, like, for example, as I was praying about this service, I just got an idea that there's a young lady here who feels like she's never really connected with God. You've been talking to God maybe all your life, but it feels like they're unanswered emails. It's like you're texting him and he never texts back. And if that's you, well, then I'm preaching to you today, because God has put your face. In fact, if I may narrow it down a little bit more, because you might be saying, well, maybe that's me. Well, if you're saying maybe that's me, just say yes, it is. But maybe, let me say, okay, in my mind's eye, as I was praying about this, and I do see lots of visions and pictures in my head. Some of them are genuine. Some of them are just off the planet. But that's okay, you know, and you've got the right to make a mistake as you look for visions, as you listen for God's word. You are allowed to be wrong. I give you the permission to be wrong. Sometimes if you're arguing with me, you absolutely have the right to be wrong so that I can be right, because I like being right. But really, you've got to have this humility to say, you know what, God, I think I've seen what you're showing me, but I'm not sure. So as you look into the year, start looking for the fresh things that God has for you. So as I'm looking, I imagined that I see a lady, 20s, mid-20s, 30 maybe, brown skin, just with the longing eyes that want to see the response from God. As you feel like you've been sending off emails, you've been sending off letters, you've been sitting in the congregation church for maybe a long time, and you just don't feel like you have that connection that everyone else has got. You know, you'd like to say, I'll have what he's having, I'll have what she's having, but you don't feel that that's actually happening. And then there's other people, as I was thinking about it, you might be sitting here and you saw the three come down and commit their life to Jesus this morning, but you're not quite there yet. That's okay. You're investigating God. You're just checking it out. You want to make sure that he's real. That's cool. That's all good. You have time, limited time maybe, but you have time to make that decision. And when you do make it stick. So if this helps today and this helps you investigate a little bit, I'm going to give you this one tip at the end is vital for you. If you do this one thing for 3 days, I believe that it will actually transform your joy as you discover God throughout this year in a fresh new way. I seriously believe that if you can manage to do this one thing, it's a memory thing. You just have to keep reminding yourself every time the opportunity arises, you remind yourself and say one word. You could be sitting here and you've been connected with God in the past and you're feeling a little bit jaded now, like, you know, you sort of made a few mistakes, you stepped out, you maybe prayed for something and you believed it was going to happen, then it sort of didn't happen. And now you're sort of not sure whether God actually hears you or whether you heard, or, you know, if God is right all the time, you know, maybe you just feel like you're not getting it, you're not connecting. Man, I've been there regularly. And yet, that thing that I said to you before, I have a right to be wrong. I have an excuse, or I am okay with being wrong and mishearing. And yet, I'm going to also bring you to my main verse, my life verse in a moment, that keeps me coming back, even when I get it wrong. Even when I stand up and I say, there's somebody here today and they've got a broken ankle, and I just believe that God's going to heal your broken ankle this morning, and nothing happens. Nobody comes out. There's no broken ankles. People look around. They go, nope, nobody with a broken ankle here. That guy just missed it. And I feel stupid. And you go, oh, well. But then I come back to my life verse, and the next Sunday I have to stand up. I have to say the next thing. There's somebody here. I just feel like you've got this. The only way I can describe it is a cauliflower in your nose. Someone came out for that one and got healed. I said, this is just what I envisage. It's like a blockage. It just, to me, it just looks like an infection. And she came out for that one and got instantly healed. And I was like, yes. So sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. God's still there. What's the big thing that I keep coming back to? If you want to turn with me to Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 1. This is my life verse. I'm going to read it to you. Actually, I didn't copy and paste it in here. Is it? Can we pop it up on the screen? Habakkuk 2? Here we go. Well, I will go to my watch stand. I will stand at my watch and I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied. So that's verse one is what my part. I will stand at my watch. So I will go, I will look to see what he will say to me. And this is something that I keep coming back to. If there's one thing that I can come back to every day, and believe me, even just the struggle of getting to have your quiet time every day is a challenge. I thought that once I started Bible college, it would be all go, all good, because there was nothing else distracting me. All I had to do was go to Bible college, go home, study. I didn't have to work, and I would be every day have my quiet time. Didn't happen. Then I thought, well, 2 years' time, I'm going to be a pastor. When I get to be a pastor, what else have you got to do? You're being paid to pray. Great, I have my quiet time every day. Do you think it happened? No, but I kept coming back to it. Didn't give up. You just keep coming back to something of God over and over and over, and just have it as a basis for your direction in your life. And this is the one verse, the one portion that brings freshness into my spirit. So I will stand at my watch and I'll station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. So the watchtower and the ramparts is like around the outside of the castle. There are also different types of watchtower, which were these structures that you looked out over your vineyard to check that there were no things, you know, destroying your vineyard early in the morning. You get up and go and check your crops or whatever it is. And so there's an image here of Habakkuk getting up. He's got an issue. He's got a problem. And he brings his complaint to God. He talks to God about it. And he says, I'm going to stand there until I get your voice, until I'm going to look. And it says something weird. I'm going to look to see what he will say. So in other words, one moment he's talking about vision, the next moment he's talking about hearing. There's like this blend in the sentence, doesn't quite make sense. And the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. So write it down so that it's easy to transfer the information elsewhere. So one of the things that is in my life put in place about 20 years ago was journaling, writing down what God says to me. Right. So now I want to run through just a few things that 8 slices of this title is of this message is Pray Like Pizza. So I want to help you develop in your prayer life and in your fresh vision, hearing, in your connection to God, so that you don't feel like you're sending off emails and texts that don't get answered. You feel like you've got a connection. And the good thing about Pray Like Pizza is that there's 8 different slices. You don't have to eat 8 slices. You can pick and choose which one suits you. And each morning I have a Pray Like Pizza list, and I go through about 4 things. And every now and then I mix it up so that I'm shifting it around. And I want to tell you what some of these slices are. Pray Like Pizza. The reason I call it Pray Like Pizza is that it matches a clock. And so what I do with a slice is I choose a period of time. It could be 10 minutes. And I do 10 minutes of one slice, 10 minutes of another slice, 10 minutes of another slice, until I've gone through, say, 40 minutes or an hour. I started out in my quiet times were maybe 40 minutes, half an hour. It's good. Pastors can do this sort of thing, get up early and spend. Now they stretch out to about 2 hours. And I'm just enjoying myself so much. I fit in other things. One of the slices is chlorinate the pool. Another one is feed some birds. No, they just sort of get mixed in there. But Pray Like Pizza is a concept. Is if you break your prayer time up into a few different portions of things, you can actually feel like you're connecting to God along the way and you're getting some stuff done. It helps us choleric-minded people to tick the boxes, say we've done stuff, but it also helps us to actually connect. And I find that one of these in particular is my primary way that I connect with God. Let me tell you what some of these are. But before I do, I want to invite my mate, Jamie, to give us a little bit of a demonstration of what we can expect. Let's run this video.
Let's knock out pizza. Now, one thing I want you to see at the moment, Dave, if you come in, my mate Dave's just getting a close-up here.
That's me.
One of the points of the wood oven is as you sort of stoke it with logs, you see the fire licking up the top of the dome, right? 60-centimetre dome inside here. You've got this fire. I always push the fire to the side so it gives you full depth. The fire is coming up over the top, and it's almost like a grill. We can cook a pizza in there in a minute and a half, 2 minutes, depending on your temperature. It's screaming. You can cook a sardine in a minute and a half, crispy skinned all over. Garlic, olive oil, parsley, lemon zest, beautiful. So let's cook a pizza. I'm going to do a really bog standard, simple pizza. I've got some dough here. The great thing about the oven is because it's handmade, because it is thick, and because it's properly made, it's going to maintain that temperature for way, way longer. Pizza peel here, a little bit of flour. I'm going to put my pizza on there, like that. You don't want to overload your bases. Go easy on the toppings. Less is always better. So 1, 2, 3. Little waves of bacon. Always put oil on woody herbs before they go anywhere near a pizza. Then it's going to kind of transfer all those beautiful flavours. Us humans have sort of lost the instinct and patience with controlling fire, okay? So, just turn the button on, you know, just run and go, run and go, run and go. And of course, these come into their own in the holidays, kids' holidays, and the weekends. And it's about actually being patient sometimes, do you know what I mean? Yes, you can start it in the morning and have it where you want it at 1 o'clock, if that's what you want. But really, you can't just do what you want when you want. It kind of commands that you... Is that the right temperature? It is. Okay, let's go. And I kind of like that. It's sort of making people a little bit more patient. The addiction continues. A little chilly. Just to put a smile on my face. So there you go. I've got the fire at one side. Right, I've got it floured underneath. And I'm going to go in. And notice that action. So you don't, if you just go, it's just going to fall all over the place. You'll have stuff stuck everywhere and you'll get upset and then you'll blame me. Flour it, dough. Obviously, you don't want to make the pizza too big. And you just jiggy, 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 jiggy. That's at about 450 at the moment. I could push that to 500. You know, 500, you're going to cook that in about a minute. What's going to happen, and this will never happen in a conventional oven, is that incredible heat on the bottom and the top is going to make the water in that dough go, So you're going to see these like ripples and these bumps, and you're going to see like cheese like dancing like that. And like that, you can't rip that off in an electric oven. Keep an eye on the dough that faces the fire, right? Because it will catch. Sometimes you can use your peel as a deflector and sort of hold it there like that. Because remember, it's only going to cook in a minute and a half. So, you know, if you're holding it like that for 30 seconds, it ain't going to hurt you. Soon as that pizza's kind of set a little bit, then again, you go in with a right? And then we can peel it out and we can turn it around, right? See that colour? I could have taken it out 20 seconds before, but I was too busy talking to you lot. You want to take meats and fish and dough a little bit too far. You don't want to burn it. Wood ovens are not about like anemic food. It's like proper attitude. It's like, it's char, it's flavour, it's smoke. Look, we're there. We come out again. Maybe one third time, three turns. And like making your first pancake, that's my first pizza of the day. You know, in 10 minutes, the temperature will just have softened slightly. And it'll just take a little bit longer to cook. Brilliant. You find your sweet spot. It's not just fire management, it's wood management. Don't just have massive bits of wood. You know, have some big bits. They'll burn for a long time. Then have some medium-sized bits. Look at that. In your own home. Nothing that arrives in a box will have that texture. Will have that flavour. Look at that dancing cheese on there. Absolutely beautiful. Little salad. Beautiful dinner.
Okay, so you will be amazed at how many illustrations we can bring out of just cooking pizza and hanging around, having something to eat. I think pizza was actually the original communion. That's just my opinion. That, you know, flatbread, herbs, spices, dipped in the sauce, that sort of thing. But, you know, don't quote me on that. But we do pizza every week, pretty much every week. I built one of those ovens. We get people around. It's my evangelism time on a Friday night. We mix it up. We make sure that we've got a couple of our best Christian friends there, and then we mix it up and we invite a range of different people. We come and we hang together. We eat pizza. We drink beer and wine and soft drink and whatever else, and we have a good time. One thing that is always there, and this is point number 8 that will assist you in your Pray Like Pizza mornings or evenings, whenever you do your quiet time, and that's music. Music helps us worship. And if we've got screen number 8 there, we're going to pop that up there. It's very simple. It's a one-word thing. Music helps us worship. And so you might be the sort of person that pops a CD or a DVD or whatever, your iPod, whatever, into your car as you're driving to work or in your ears and listen to worship music as you're coming out of your Pray Like Pizza morning time with God. That might be the moment for you, listening in a time of worship to God. And some people, my wife is one of them, who come to church and worship, singing, music. It is the main event. Everything after that's downhill. That's when I preach. But for me, it's always been the other. I always like the message. I always like the word of God. I like what gets spoken about. That's the main event for me. I'm like, not that I don't like music. I've always loved music and I always enjoy it. But I was like, all right, now we're getting on to the main event. But for some of you, music is your main event. Number 7, I'm working backwards here, is a prayer list. In the back of my journal, I have a prayer list. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, those in authority above us. So that's our government, but it's also our church leaders. So I pray for, you know, our overall leaders, Phil Pringle, Gordon Moore, Nige, and various other ones. We've got our WA guys that we're sort of in relationship to. And then I pray for my leaders who are running my team. So my key leaders know that they are in my prayer list. And there's another prayer list that I actually have, and that's in the YouVersion Bible app. And I, beginning of last year, I said, listen, I want our church, as many as possible, to hook into the YouVersion Bible app and do at least one plan this year. And I said, and if you do and you befriend me, then you're in my prayer list. And every now and then I go through my YouVersion prayer list. And by the end of the year, I had my, on 2 weeks before the end of the year, I got my goal, which was 50 of my church family having done one YouVersion plan a year. Number 6, this is an interesting one, inspiring stories. This is one that I've developed along the way, and I found that it actually became part of my Morning time with God, my coffee with God. If you look up hashtag coffee with God, that's a lot of people use that hashtag, but that's one of the ones I use. So I get up, I have a coffee, and I sit down. And I have various times, a time with God. And one of the things that I do is I'll have inspiring stories. So I might be working my way through a Christian book, one that's inspiring me at the moment. It could be Bill Hybels' Axiom with lots of little short ones. It could be a YouVersion plan, because they always have, you know, that bit that they call devotional. That's an inspiring story. It's a real-life story from today that connects the truth of the Bible to our lives. So inspiring stories, just don't be afraid to use as part of your prayer time a Christian book. Number five, this bounces straight out of Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. And the Lord said, write down the vision. Make it plain. I don't know about you, but I have an amazing forgettery. I forget stuff all the time. And I am always amazed when I go back into my journals and I'm just flicking through some of the stuff that, you know, at the time I was just writing it down. I write my conversations to God. Hey, hello, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. He says, hello, David. Well, today you're going to da-da-da-da-da-da. I write down some stuff. It could be just any stuff. And then sometimes I come back to it months later and I go, that is amazing. I must do that. That's just so wise. That wasn't me writing that down. That's obviously the Holy Spirit inspiring me at the time. And so I'll go and do it. Or the flip side is, that is amazing. I didn't even try and make that happen and it happened. So write it down. It really brings a freshness and a spice to your life. Number four, stop, look and listen. Stop, look and listen also bounces out of Habakkuk 2. And it says, I will go, you know, I'll stand and I will look. And I will listen. You have to get still. You have to stop. You know, stop, look, listen. That's before you cross the road. That's a kid's thing. You don't want to be too busy, busy, busy. And we know that the temptation to busyness is such a pressure. You've always got bings and beeps and burrs and things going on. And we're always feeling like we need to get something done. One of the best things you can do is get your coffee or tea or whatever it is you might like in the morning and sit outside. I like to sit outside. It might be too hot or cold or whatever for you, but just stop and just look around and just look at the stillness. Just, you know, traffic noise in the background. Yeah, we've got traffic up there too, but just stop. And in your mind's eye, look. And then in your mind's ear, listen. And then I would write it down. Number three, this is one of the most powerful ones that is always in my Pray Like Pizza series. I never take this one out. I always have pray in tongues. I always have tongues in my prayer time. Because I have found, especially over this last year, 2015, I probably prayed in tongues more than I have in my life. If you're a new Christian here or just investigating or checking out, you don't know what tongues is, it's weird. It's speaking a language that you haven't learned and you don't know, and you don't even know whether you're speaking a language at all, but you're making these funny sounds. And although it's so strange, some people feel like they've got this unction of the Holy Spirit and they're being, it's like it's overwhelming and it bubbles up from within them. That's like when my wife first got, Lil got tongues, other people had that experience. Other people are like, I just have to make it happen. I just have to do it. And I've, you know, personally, speaking personally now, I have never felt like God was making me speak in tongues. It was always a choice. And yet, even though it's my choice and I choose to do it and it sounds stupid and it sounds weird, I have seen amazing, powerful moments and answers to prayer come out of those events. Even one of the times this year, about 3 months ago, brother was going through a hard time, big issue in his life. And I was praying in tongues, walking backwards and forwards around our house. And at the end of it, about 8 minutes or so of praying in tongues, he sends me this text. He said, have you been praying for me? He said, I just felt this amazing sense of peace come over me. I was like, wow. So I see the evidence and I see the answers to prayer. It's times where I see visions for the church on Sunday, some of the things that I see happen, some of the things I see happen, they don't happen, all that sort of stuff. But I take it with me. And believe me, praying in tongues is a big slice that you can bring into your prayer time, your time with God. The number two is the Bible. Read the Bible. This is another non-negotiable for me. I always, so the last three, the Bible, tongues, and writing it down, those three are always there. But none of these pizza slices would be anything without number one. Just while I'm on it, tongues is the heat, right? You put Jamie Oliver, he puts the pizza in the oven. The tongues is the Holy Spirit heat. That's the actual physical connection to the heat of God. That's what we've been given. Flames of fire alighted on the disciples back in Acts 2. That's the heat of God. We are privileged as Christians. We live in a world where God gives us the heat to get stuff done and to cook stuff. Nobody wants a piece of raw, floppy pizza. It's got to be cooked. So we can have, if we have a quiet time with God, we have a religious life with God, we sort of do the religious stuff, we turn up to church, but we don't actually have the heat that's cooked that. We can do all the stuff we want, but that's called religion. Think of religion as uncooked pizza. Dough, raw food falling off it. Nobody wants to eat uncooked pizza, but the heat of God cooks it. So before I give you number one, I'm going to run another video, because this video brings out the one word I want you to take away with you today.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Eclipse Mint says hello to Fresh.
The one word that I want you to take away with you today is hello. Because, you know, we live in the world where we have these pressures on us, and often we go, I wish I had more time. I wish I read the Bible more. I wish I prayed more. I wish I saw the visions that that person had. And yet we can end up living a life, sitting here in church on a Sunday, that has a pervading sense of inadequacy. We feel like the Holy Spirit comes along and taps us on the shoulder and says, you didn't talk to me this morning. And you go, oh, I'm going to do better this week. Tap on the shoulder. When are you going to pray with me? I'm going to pray. Yes, I want to pray. I'm going to do it. I'm going to write it down here. I'm going to tick that pizza. The pastor said, go and tick that pizza box. I'm going to do this checklist. You know all you really need when you feel that little tap on your shoulder of you should do this more, you should do that more? Is just go, hello. So when you next think about, I should do this more, I should do that more, during your week, can you imagine what would happen if every time in the next 2-3 days, let's say 3 days, you get the feeling like, oh, I missed my quiet time this morning. I don't pray enough. And you're starting to worry about this or that. It's a little tap on the shoulder, and all you have to do is hello. And look up into the eyes of Jesus. Hello. And just like that crazy video, there's a transformation that starts with hello. That's how easy it is to pray. You say hello. That's how easy it is to pray. You just say, simply say, hello. Because this might be a surprise, but God started the conversation. You don't have to go somewhere to start a conversation with God. He's already tapping you on the shoulder. All you have to say is hello and respond. God loves you. In fact, we don't need to go somewhere and tell God, I love you, God. In fact, probably we should always answer when we get that little tap on the shoulder, I love you too. I love you too. So let's stand. I know that the communion's coming around and taking it and just holding it while we pray. I'm going to lead us all in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the simplicity of hello. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son down to earth, and it amazes me that the main event that you left us to celebrate your presence was a meal. Was food and drink and family and friends. It's not religion. It's a relationship. We just thank you, Lord God, And I'm going to count to 1, 2, 3, and I want you to pray with me. But I only want you to say one word. And that word is hello. So you're ready to say hello to Jesus. I want you in your mind's eye to stop, to look. And then after you've said hello, just listen. So we'll say hello, and then we'll just stand and listen for a moment. What would God say to you? What would Jesus be saying to you right this second? So ready? 1, 2, 3, hello. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3, hello. When you're ready, if you'd like to take and eat. Thank you, Jesus, for your body broken for us, for your blood spilt for us, that we at all times and in every situation can say hello. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.